Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I'm so sad to now confirm the tragic news. Former Lakers star Kobe Bryant was killed today in a helicopter crash in the Los Angeles area.
To Kobe's family, I want to send my most sincere and heartfelt regrets and prayers, and my thoughts are with you.
We all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons.
Today's a tough day, and I hope that everybody at home, you give that person next to you whatever thing you have wrong in your life with them. If this might be small or big, let the go. Doesn't matter.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
And we are just one day removed from the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and eight others in this helicopter crash out in California. And we're talking about it, 617-779-7937. We mentioned earlier TMZ.com. They were on top of this before anybody else, and they seem to have more accurate information than anybody else. Today they are talking with a lot of pilots, and a lot of the questions are coming back toward the pilot of the helicopter that was carrying Kobe, his daughter, and these other passengers. They're claiming, according to the pilots they've talked to, that it seems like the pilot was aborting the trip and trying to return home, barely clearing one mountain range, but never slowed down. And this is according to the flight tracker, which is available, by the way. The public can see it. And several experienced helicopter pilots in the L.A. area. We already have all of the audio back and forth between the helicopter and the control center. As we reported, the pilot had to circle near the downtown L.A. area, near the L.A. Zoo, for 15 minutes because of bad weather ahead. The LAPD had already grounded its helicopter fleet because of fog at around the same time that Kobe's helicopter took off. But here's the interesting one. As we reported, the pilot was way too low at 1,250 feet. The pilots we spoke with say it's clear based on the abrupt change on the flight tracker. The pilot panicked and quickly ascended to 2,000 feet. We're told he cleared a mountain range by 100 feet, and the pilots we spoke with said he was so low, he almost certainly saw the tops of the mountain. The pilots we spoke with, all of whom have got extensive experience, say based on the flight tracker and the accident scene, they believe the pilot felt he had cleared all of the mountains and was proceeding to head back when he hit another mountain. The pilot clearly did not know there were mountains ahead because he actually descended from 2,000 feet down to 1,700 feet, presumably to go under the fog. And they question why he was going so fast at 161 knots.
Yeah, so I want to play this sound real quick. This is from air traffic control. It's a little grainy, but it does kind of, you know, paint the picture of what you're talking about.
Tower for 2 Echo X-ray. Can we start, go ahead and start turning to the southwest close to 1-1?
2 Echo X-ray, you're still too low level for flight following at this time. 2 Echo X-ray, what is the intention?
So it's obvious that air traffic control knew that the pilot was flying too low. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about what the pilot was actually doing. Was the that he was just using, there's two different options. You can use your technology, use the instruments to kind of gauge where you're going, or you can use just your eyesight. And it seems to me that's what it was, because you obviously wouldn't be, you would be so disoriented, right? I mean, this is a big part of like JFK, how JFK died.
Well, one of the things here in this article says he was doing 161 knots and didn't slow down. Apparently the helicopter hit the mountain at that speed. And they even say, like, one of the benefits of a helicopter is you can go as slow as even 15 miles an hour to kind of avoid terrain. That's my whole thing. I mean, you got the fleet, you know, LAPD, they grounded their fleet as they were taking off. You know, and then you get up there and you're like, listen, we don't know where we're going. I mean, you're in a helicopter, right? I mean, it's not like you're in a private jet. You're like, where can we land this thing? You're in a helicopter. So land it a lot of places, can't you? And just sort of get in the ground and then start communicating, be like, hey, is this fog going away? You know, we're going to be late to this game, but really, who cares?
So
I can't go back up there and fly. You could land that thing anywhere, couldn't you?
Yeah, so according to these pilots, the fog was so bad, he probably saw nothing. He's going 161 knots, which is 185 miles per hour. He's got a sophisticated chopper that has an altitude warning signal, okay? The problem is, as the other pilots are saying, if you're going 185 miles per hour, by the time that warning hits, okay, it's too late. You're going into the side of the mountain. If he had been going at a slow speed and that thing went off, you would have plenty of time to slow it down. You can forget about 15 miles per hour. You can literally stop it and just hover, right?
Yes.
With a helicopter as opposed to an airplane. And so it seems interesting that these other pilots are kind of pointing it back to this pilot. They're all saying that this guy was extremely experienced mm-hmm. flying in that area. He was even a flight instructor, so nobody's questioning his credentials. They're questioning his judgment. Yeah, that's what
his judgment at the time. And there has been a... So nobody knows what happened. So there's no, like, it's not like Kobe Bryant is, you know, on the mic and he's, you know, talking back and forth from his seat with the pilot. Because what I have been hearing, which is, I'm going to say it's false. I don't know for sure, but I can't imagine Kobe Bryant saying, hey, you know what? Why don't you get going? Well, you know, Mr. Bryant, it's not really safe. Nah, I don't care. I want to hurry up and get up there quick. Like a pilot would override him in a second.
Of course.
And the reason why they were, circling is because they were trying to get clearance to keep going based on the fog and the pilot's ability to navigate through the fog.
Well, you know, people are bringing up anything, and those that are bringing up, well, Kobe was probably pressuring the pilot because he wanted to get his daughter.
Yeah, he's a mamba, right? He just wants to get the there. He wants to win.
It's idiotic. The pilot has a responsibility to the eight other passengers in that plane that you can't do. I mean, come on. Makes no sense at all. He's an experienced pilot. This is not some hack that
it just got his license like three weeks ago.
It's
obviously a tragic accident. Yes. That, which I think makes it more painful, is the fact that it could have been avoided.
Yep.
Right? I guess that's what makes it an accident, right? It's the fact that it could have been avoided if you were just more, you know, aware of the circumstances.
Well, we may find out a lot more when they finally... You know, break the investigation. The National Transportation Board.
I don't know. Helicopters, like, is there like that black box type of stuff? I mean, we're kind of hearing a little bit of the back and forth, but identify anything? I mean, it sounds like nothing was wrong with this helicopter. It was just that in fog, didn't see where it's going. Because if it hit at 161 knots, 185 miles an hour, there's no, you know, not slowing down. Well, they didn't see it.
Well,
they hit it.
They said there was no distress call. So if you're suddenly something goes, and there are two engines, I believe, on that helicopter, and they can still fly it with one. But if both engines go out, you have a distress call, right? Back to air traffic control. There was no distress call. So it sounds like these pilots are probably right. He was lost in the fog. He couldn't see, and he brought it down to a lower altitude so he could see better. And then he was going too fast.
So the initial report is that there was five, and one of the five was Kobe Bryant. Which I'm sure kind of promoted a certain emotion from you. When you heard that it was his daughter that was also in the plane, in the helicopter,
how
did it change?
A lot worse. Tenfold.
There's so no apparently the safety board out there, what is it, the NTSB, whatever it is, they're holding a press conference 7 o'clock Eastern time, 4 o'clock out there, to kind of what they have found out as far as the helicopter and everything that went down there. So... Maybe it's 7 o'clock here locally. I'm sure everybody will see that press conference. It'll be everywhere.
I'm sure TMZ will have the results of that press conference before it is actually announced.
So as we're finding out, though, you're going to get very little out of this thing initially because they go through a long investigations. They don't give you much.
Right.
And you saw it yesterday when the sheriff came out there, and they had very little to say. We learned one thing, and that is we had gone from 5 passengers up to 9 passengers. But they couldn't reveal the names. They still have not revealed any of the names. All right. But we had a lot of wild reporting in the first few hours.
Oh, my God.
And it's we're in the wild, wild west right now with the internet and social media. This is what it is.
It's the frontier.
Yeah, it is.
And it's despicable. Like, just, and that's, I think that's what bugged me first. I asked you, you know, what were your emotions like when you heard it was just Kobe? And then how did it change when you heard it was his daughter also, who's 13 years old?
How about this one? When ABC, I repeat, ABC, with their reporter Matt Gutman reported this. What did you think?
Just before I ran out the door, my wife said, oh, my Lord, you know, we grew up with Kobe. And the fact that 4 of his children are believed to be on that helicopter with him, all daughters, one of them a newborn, is simply devastating. So this is going to really hit hard in Southern California. Obviously, everybody hoping that this is not the case, but, you know,
terrible report.
Awful reporting.
Awful report.
That's what they broke the Pro Bowl from.
Right.
You know, they left their ABC breaking news. And I watched that thing live, rewinded it twice. I rewind it twice. I'm like, did I just hear that correct?
We're hoping we're wrong.
We're hoping we're wrong.
Believe.
Well, hope and believe. Jesus. Before you go on ABC and say that all four of his daughters were on the plane with him. Because at that point, you're believing five people. Right? At that point, we heard five people were on this helicopter. So you're like, okay, well, it's him and four daughters?
No,
a pilot?
No, we had another.
That's like six? Where are we at?
We had a media outlet that was reporting that Rick Fox
was another one.
Teammate.
But how do you go on saying, you know, it's believed that his four daughters, and hopefully it's not true? Well, Jesus. Can we confirm that first before this whole family is on this helicopter? Because that was the game changer, I think, because then he said, oh, my God. They're not sure. Then you start thinking, who was on the helicopter with him? Because at first, it's just, you know, the news struck, and I don't know, 2:30 or so, out here is when he kind of heard about it, started to hear about it. And it was Kobe Bryant on an airplane. I mean, on a helicopter, rather. I didn't even think about him being on there with his wife or his family or his kids. None of it. Until this report came out, I'm like, oh, my God. It's getting worse by the second.
Well, then it made sense to me because it was a weekend, and you would think he would be with the family on the weekend. This wasn't like Monday through Friday where you might have said, well, maybe it was a business trip. It was the weekend. And when that report came out in the Pro Bowl, I'm sitting there going, oh, my God.
I didn't even think about family members on there with him.
Right. This thing just got.
And then, of course, the report came out that his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, was on there, right, Gigi?
Yeah.
She was on there, too, and you're like, oh, my God. And the memes of these two sitting there watching the game, and that changed it. I think there was shock that Kobe. You know, when you heard that he's saying it out loud, like, oh, my God, Kobe Bryant died. And then all of a sudden you heard, like, the daughter and you started seeing the pictures of them. And that changed it for me a lot because I can't imagine what. And again, I don't know if it was instantaneous. I don't know if they just didn't see it and it was a last minute thing. But sitting there with your daughter while that's going on, if you know you're going down.
Yeah, see, I think
that took it to another level.
Yeah, I mean, because we're all kind of having these visions or. You know, our imagination is going crazy, and I thought the same thing. Like, what I would be going through if I knew, but based on the conditions, I'm not sure
they knew.
Had any idea whatsoever.
No,
because if they're going 185 miles an hour, 160 knots, then nobody knew. The pilot didn't know because no emergency signal went off because the impact was too quick. You know, I've seen a bunch of videos on Twitter of people driving along the coast. In a fog situation, and somebody was filming it, and then sure enough, the car stopped, and here comes this ginormous helicopter trying to navigate their way through the terrain and just going really, really slow, going 10, 15 miles an hour because, God forbid, their visibility is so short.
So they're using the highways
as a guide.
Around Los Angeles as a guide.
As
the
a guide.
One-on-one, they're using
it,
trying to follow the highway because you can see
the lights.
You can see the lights, and you can see the cars down below. So that's what you follow, and that was what apparently they told the pilot he should follow, and you could hear that on the air traffic control back and forth with the pilot. Mm. This is just a tragic story, and it's so different from when somebody is sick for a long period of time, and so you know that they're going, and they're not going to be with us any longer. To see somebody like that just go just like that, boom.
And I also think
and you're right with the daughter. Once we heard that his daughter was part of it at 13 years
of age. Yeah, I also feel
age.
Like it was, I feel like what bugged me was just the rush to canonize him, the rush to, you know, change the logo to the Kobe Bryant logo.
That's what we do.
The rush to, you know, no one can wear number 24, or number 8, and like treating Kobe Bryant like he was Jackie Robinson. He was not anywhere near the man that Jackie Robinson was.
And Mark Cuban.
As far as what he did
and
what
Mark
he accomplished.
Cuban wants to do
and
that.
So,
right.
So, no, Cuban already did it.
Yeah.
Cuban has come out, not even 24 hours afterwards.
Right.
And it's almost like this, hey, look what I did. I did it quick. Others have to follow suit.
So,
how do you think that would play out
you
here?
You know what I think? I think people do it with great intentions, that they feel awful at the tragedy and what just happened. So they really feel that they've got to chip in and they've got to do something. And in doing something, you're right, Christian, they overreact to it, okay?
It doesn't. It looks
rushed. What can I do?
Right.
To show my support.
Good intentions.
Good intentions.
Yeah.
What can I do to show my support? You know, my organization is going to retire the number.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of where Cuban was probably going. I don't see it going around the league. We talked earlier about Wayne Gretzky, number 99, has been retired in the NHL. Jackie Robinson, 42. I don't see 24 being retired throughout the league.
How do you pull that back, though, if you're Mark Cuban and you want to change your mind or nobody else does it? He kind of puts pressure on other teams to do it. But I agree. We talked about this earlier.
Rush to be the first.
This is not Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson changed the face mm-hmm. of an entire sport. And I know some people are probably going to equate that Kobe and the way he played did. We're talking about breaking the color barrier.
Yeah, different.
This is much different. The pain, the agony, what Jackie Robinson had to endure so others of his color could eventually play the game is much different than what we're talking about with the tragic loss of a great player.
The girls, and now they have this, I guess there was three girls from this basketball team.
Yeah.
I've been seeing the names all day. I mean, because we all know John Altobelli, the baseball coach out there, he coached Brewster Whitecaps for 3 years down to Cape League, 2012 to 2014. His son JJ is a scout with the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox sent out a press release today. They have a GoFundMe page for the family. So John Altobelli is on there with his wife and daughter. And he's got another daughter and his son JJ. And then there was another girl, Peyton Chester. So there's three girls on this flight. And I think Peyton's mom was on there with her. I shouldn't say. I don't know for sure. But I know there's nine people. But three girls from the team.
Oh, the pilot was one of the nine.
The pilot was one.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable in an instant. You think of all these lives, these families. Imagine a mother, daughter, and a father. And you're sitting there and you're just like, you know what I mean? And it's heartbreaking. I can't even imagine what these families are going through. Kobe's wife sitting there. Not just her husband, but a 13-year-old daughter. It did. It changed the game. It was bad enough with Kobe, but the kids, it took it to another level.
And the other issue I have with it, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but the fact that TMZ was the first organization to report this, I don't know. I guess that's their job. Did you say that? Oh.
No.
I can't hear you. What?
Nothing.
Oh. I don't know how you feel about this. Should TMZ have waited and at least made sure that the families, especially, and not to take anything away from the other families, but the name that they want is Kobe. The name that they want to announce is Kobe Bryant's name. Hey, look, superstar, world-renowned athlete, has died in a helicopter accident. To me, I think they need to be able to remove that ability and like moving forward. And I think this will end up coming at some point.
It won't.
Social media, especially organizations like some random person, fine, but an organization like that to sit there and release that, where his wife and his daughter, who's 17, who's on Twitter, I guarantee you follows TMZ.
Yeah, but it's not.
Finds out like, hey, Kobe Bryant, my dad died in a helicopter crash.
If the New York Times had tweeted it out, you'd feel differently.
I'd feel the same. I feel like they should all be held accountable for that. Well, nobody wants to hear that news over Twitter.
But hold on. I get that. And nobody wants to hear the tragic news. But that's not their job, Christian. They are journalists. It's their job to report the news. Now, if they get it wrong, then that's when I have a problem with them. And there were a lot that were wrong, including ABC and claiming that the four daughters were on that plane or believed they were on the plane.
I get that.
They got it right. Kobe Bryant was on that helicopter. They got it right. I don't see how anybody can have a problem with them. It's not their job to sit there and wait until it's confirmed.
Okay,
if that were the case, nobody would have reported. Still wouldn't have not have reported it yet, because the sheriff's office has not listed the deceased yet.
They have not. And I will say
so
this.
We would still be waiting for it today, Monday afternoon at 5:18 Eastern.
You know how kooky people from California are, and the rules and the laws and the regulations.
Trust me, I work with one.
Yeah, you do.
See, this dude,
I can guarantee you right now, we haven't even gotten to all the baseball issues right now, but we'll have to wait for tomorrow based on what the Dodgers are doing, how upset they are. There will be some sort of sensitivity clause or sensitivity proposition on the ballot soon in California.
I can guarantee you.
For the media?
Against the media, yes.
It's
because the love of... Look what they're doing. Look what right now. So far, there is over 400,000 signatures to change the NBA's logo from Jerry West to Kobe Bryant shooting a fadeaway.
That's off the charts, too. And that is because people all feel bad with the death of Kobe Bryant, and they feel like they want to do. They want to do something. They
want to do something. They're trying to get to a million. Stop.
They want to do something. How many do they have signed the ballot that the Dodgers should be named the 2017 Major League Baseball champion?
A lot.
Okay, those people in California are crazy. But the but I will say this: the L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva came out yesterday and was very critical of TMZ.
We have a manifest that indicates that there was 9 people on board the aircraft, the pilot plus 8 individuals. There is wide speculation as to who the identities are. However, it is entirely inappropriate right now to identify anyone by name until the coroner has made the identification through their very deliberative process, and they've made notifications to next of kin. And it'd be extremely disrespectful to understand that your loved one was perished and you learn about it from TMZ. That is just wholly inappropriate, so we're not going to be going there.
I would say it's disrespectful of a media outlet to do it. Is it inappropriate? No, it's what they do. It's the media. They're delivering the news to you. So if they've got a confirmed report, and in this case they were right, that Kobe Bryant was on the helicopter that crashed in Calabasas, then it's they're right and
listen,
to report
they got,
it.
They got it right. I have more of a problem with the ABC News guy.
Sure.
That came out and said it's believed that his whole family was on the helicopter. ABC News. I mean, the people are watching the Pro Bowl and they cut in with this guy. Now, we're hoping it's not true. And it's like, well, if you're hoping it's not true, you're telling me you don't know it's true or not, but yet you have no problem just saying it. You know, in the middle of a Pro Bowl, when people are watching,
see, Christy,
to try to get news from you that it's believed that all his daughters are on the helicopter? Like, that's 10 times worse.
It'll be Proposition 8.
You should be pissed off at the person who leaked all of this out. Maybe it was law enforcement that leaked it out. Somebody leaked it out to TMZ. I don't know.
To get paid.
I don't know. You should be pissed off at them because they should not reveal any of this stuff until notifying next of kin. But for the media, if the media is able to get that story, it is their obligation to the public to get it out there.
Well, I'm not sure if it's their obligation, but you come into California, you start reporting people are dying, you're going to go to jail.
Good luck with that one. Good luck with that petition.
I don't see it.
To the phones, here's Kara in Rhode Island. Hello, Kara.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, Kara.
I have just wanted to say that I think that social media and the media itself is disgusting. Forwarding that information before even knowing if it's true or not, like what you were saying with the ABC newscaster. How can you put that out there? And it's just, I had my friend, his parents and his brother, they died in a plane crash going to see his other brother play lacrosse. Oof. And that was right when Facebook just emerged in 2004. And I can't even imagine, I mean, they weren't obviously high profile people, but it's crazy. Like, nothing is sacred anymore. It's like, where is the respect?
There's no line. There's no line.
No, I mean, everything
you. That's why, like, our kids are so desensitized, too, with everything, because there's nothing that is held back at all. Like, a lot of these people probably found out that their family members died from TMZ, and TMZ's, like, all proud of it. TMZ was the first to report. To, like, this is someone's family. Like, this, I don't know. It's just.
Well, no, I hear you.
I get it. I think it's an awful way to find out.
It is. And the media, I'm not going to sit here and try to defend them because in many cases they don't really care. And they throw bad news out there, fake news if you want. In this case, TMZ was right. They obviously had a good source.
TMZ came out with that tweet, 2 hours after the incident?
Right. And so the reaction I had, and I'm sure you had the same reaction, I read it on Twitter. I told my son, and my son said, oh, that's BS. That's not real. That's fake news.
TMZ always gets it right.
That's fake news.
I can't remember TMZ getting anything wrong.
And so I think a lot of people had the same reaction, or they did not want to believe that it was true. But that's what media does. I mean, the ABC one, you should have a problem with, and the guy had to come on the air and apologize. Was the Pro Bowl broadcast.
Yeah. What about the guy with about Rick Fox? Like, Rick Fox was
another one.
Was on the helicopter. Yeah. Like, it just randomly threw out Rick Fox's name.
Well, what would you call now credible media and non-credible media. I think the line has been blurred.
I don't know what it is.
It's blurred.
TMZ.
It's blurred.
I would say TMZ, I mean, normally, I don't know what their protocol is. I don't know what their standard operating procedures are as far as, you know, when they say, okay, run it. But they usually get it right. Because I was watching the Pro Bowl, and all the news had already been out there. You know, other people were talking about it. I was watching, you know, certain tweets from L.A. stations and people who work in L.A., cover sports out there. And next thing I know, I'm like, okay, when are they going to break into the Pro Bowl? When are they going to say something about what happened? Because everybody's talking about it. I mean, eventually they did.
Well, you know, I felt like at 3 o'clock, ESPN2 was the only one. You know, they had the news. Pro Bowl was going on. There was basketball games going on, whatever. I don't know what they were supposed to be showing. They stopped. And they had the news. That was because I was following those guys the whole time. But, you know, there wasn't. The Pro Bowl did their quick little 5-minute thing, their quick little hit. They got all that information wrong, which I thought was an embarrassment. They did a little bit in the college game, because I think they were, before they went on, saw a couple of the analysts talking about it briefly. But it was, you know, I just wonder. I saw the report. I saw people saying that, you know, it's an awful way for the family to find out. And I agree 100%. They came out 2 hours after that incident, after the accident. I mean, do we know for sure that that's how the family found out? Like 2 hours in the helicopter? There wasn't. This guy takes the helicopter all the time. There isn't a phone call, hey, when I land. You know, and she had 2 hours to find out what the hell happened because she hadn't heard from Kobe.
So you got it.
Or her daughter.
You got it later on ESPN, too, because they were far from the first to report this.
Oh, no, no. I'm just talking about the coverage as far as no games gone. They were just talking Kobe.
Yeah. So they had gone away from, they were doing X Games or something,
yes,
like that. And they broke from X Games. But Fox News was on. They had KLAC on. So they were doing the direct local TV station in Los Angeles. And then CNN did a similar thing, and they were reporting it. But nobody was reporting that Kobe was actually the person. They were reporting that a helicopter had gone down and that there were, you know, everybody had died on the helicopter. They didn't know how many people were on it. TMZ was the only one out there with the Kobe Bryant connection, because I'm sitting there watching all of this stuff, and then I went on the computer and I get KLAC and the LA stations live streaming, and they're all kind of hinting that there could be something here. But nobody's doing it, so they're afraid to reveal what TMZ already knew and was reporting, and it was all over the internet. So what are they supposed to do? They didn't trust TMZ, but I hate to say it. Mm-hmm. There was a time that the New York Times would not quote National Enquirer or TMZ. There are many times now where TMZ and National Enquirer are more right than the New York Times, especially when it comes to stuff like this.
I would agree on that one. I mean, they are. And again, I don't know. When they decide to pull the trigger and run a story, but it's always quicker than any other national syndication or any other TV show.
Let me go to these calls. Here's Anthony in Springfield. Anthony.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Just want to say thank you for that. But so Kobe is eligible for the Hall of Fame this year. I believe it's his first year of eligibility.
Yes.
And we all know that he's definitely a lock for the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think with the tragedy that happened, he's going to be completely unanimous, or you think there's going to be any one of these or two?
Unanimous.
He would have been unanimous before.
Yeah. I don't think this matters.
Duncan will be unanimous as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be
unanimous. I mean, if you play the whole baseball thing, you know, if Derek Jeter wasn't unanimous, there's always one person.
The NBA is different. They put him in unanimous.
No, I don't think this would affect. He would have been unanimous anyways.
Yes.
Okay, because I was like you guys were saying, like football and baseball, unanimous is basically unheard of. Jeter didn't get it. I think Rivera got it, but I wasn't sure about basketball. Kind of follow their Hall of Fame.
We still haven't found that one vote out there with baseball, have we?
Weird, right? How's that not come out yet?
I don't understand that.
They lucked out that everybody's focused on this.
See, my guess is that the baseball writers would leak it out to somebody, and they haven't done that. So maybe give them credit. They're actually acting responsibly.
Or maybe it's just someone they don't know that's not, like, in the mainstream.
Well, no. They're the ones conducting the vote.
Baseball, I know, but it could be a Hall of Fame voter that some guy hasn't covered baseball in, like, 5 years, still has a Hall of Fame vote. It could have been just, you know what I mean? It's not like Jeff Passan or, you know, Buster Olney.
But they know.
Just some low-level guy.
But they know who it is.
I don't know if they do.
Sure they do.
How do you know?
Because they counted the votes, didn't they?
Yeah, they counted the votes, but there's only one person that knows, the people who count the votes. But I don't think all the reporters know what each other voted for, unless it's made public.
Oh, no. I think the baseball writers, whoever the head of the Baseball Writers Association, is the one that actually is involved in this. So he would know.
So you think, like, Dan Shaughnessy knows? He just told him?
No. I'm not. No. The people that were actually counting the votes. Shaughnessy happens to be a member of the baseball writers, but he's not in the you know, the executive committee. They have to know, but I'll give him credit. They're protecting the guy.
Just a quick
update.
And
why are they protecting the guy? Why doesn't the guy want to come out?
Something tells me that guy probably takes his job very seriously.
So,
or he screwed up really bad.
Just a quick update. So early in the show, Glenn, you mentioned how the bodies haven't even been recovered yet. And you were right. Three bodies have been recovered. Six remain on logistical nightmare hillside. So
yeah, they had trouble getting water up to the site. They couldn't get it up there. That was a major problem initially.
Well, yesterday they recovered three. But they had to stop because of darkness and safety concerns yesterday. So today, I think that's what they recovered,
three.
Yeah. But I'm just reading this. It says yesterday afternoon they recovered three.
Yeah, Brian Forwin is out there. Yeah, okay.
So today the search continues on the mountainside.
Yeah. Logistical nightmare. Can you imagine?
When we started the show, they had recovered three. Okay. That was it. All right, we're gonna get right back to the phone call, 617-779-7937, right here on OMF.
Keep up with the show on Twitter, at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show, at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's hard to even talk about it. Like, the NBA should have just canceled all the games. Is that for real? Because I put a dent in everybody's life that he's touched, for sure. I mean, me personally, he's just numb to it. Like, it doesn't seem real. My focus wasn't even on the game, really. It's like my kids called me and told me he passed away. Like, let that sink in.
That's Isaiah Thomas. I think a lot of players felt that way. And if you watched any basketball, certainly the Celtics looked totally out of sync in that game, as the Pelicans probably did as well.
Yeah.
So the Lakers and the Clippers game has been postponed for tomorrow night. So tomorrow night they were expecting to play at the Staples Center. Last night they had the Grammys at the Staples Center, and there were people outside. And Staples Center is right next door to LA Live, which is an area, as Christian knows, with restaurants and bars and outside entertainment and whatever. And the place was packed, and they were doing kind of dropping flowers off and things like that. And so they've come to the conclusion that
First Take had their show there this morning.
What's that again?
First Take had Undisputed had their show there this morning.
Oh, did they really?
Outside.
So out of respect for the Lakers organization, because they simply can't pull this thing off tomorrow night. Because they're still grieving, they have postponed their game. I think it's going to be rough for a while.
So here's the thing. So after this game, their next game is Friday night against Portland. It's at home as well. So I'm guessing that'll be it, right? They'll play Friday night.
Yeah, I don't mind this one at all. The whole league, no, I think everyone should have played. But, you know, just reading the from NBA Communications, the decision was made out of respect for the Lakers organization, which is deeply grieving the tragic loss of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant. I get that one, right? The whole organization is dealing with this situation. And obviously the Clippers, they share the arena. So I get it. Like, that one makes more sense to me than, the Dallas Mavericks saying, you know, we're not playing. Or Brooklyn saying, we're not playing. It's like, how many people are truly affected?
So
one or two, maybe?
Okay, so think about this. Over the next couple of weeks, here's what you're going to have. You're going to have the funeral.
Yeah.
Funeral with,
it'll be this weekend.
With Kobe Bryant.
Well, that's what I mean. So now
and a
13-year-old Friday,
daughter.
Playing Friday night. You know, so now, you know, when is this funeral? Is it next week?
Well, how long are you going to wait?
Well, okay, you tell me. Friday night. Well, you have it Thursday or Friday? You going to play Friday night?
Well, they got to find all the bodies. One, I guess that's part of it, right? They're still searching for bodies. So I don't think, maybe you don't start until, maybe the clock starts ticking then. But usually, this happens. You don't wait longer than a week.
No, you would think, here it is Monday, you would think Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
So if they don't play tonight, their next home game is Friday night.
And they would wait till then, I would assume.
I think you're going to feel it throughout.
I think that maybe you don't play that one either.
I think you're going to feel it throughout.
No, they can't skip two games. I mean, just logistically.
Well, I'm just saying,
just scheduling-wise.
Saturday they play in Sacramento.
You know, and they want this to be at home.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you're home tonight. Tomorrow night, they're going to postpone that game. Friday night, you play at home. So that makes all the sense in the world. You play that game on Friday night. What if the funeral's Friday? You're not playing that game on Friday night.
I think I guess whatever. I don't see them postponing two games for this. Like, I don't. I think one is understandable. Two, 6 days later is not.
I think you're going to go on with this for weeks here, guys, because you're going to have that, funeral, memorial service, whatever. The other players are going to want to fly to go to this thing. They're going to want to be part of it. So if they're playing games, even though they have private, aircraft, still it's going to be very difficult to do that. Then you're only 2 weeks away from the All-Star game. You're going to have
You actually, you got a point, because the way the NBA is, whatever we want, we get. I'm affected. I need to go. I can see a lot of guys saying, well, just like treating
they will
it like,
go.
I agree with you, treating it like their father died or a death in their family where they need to go and be with their loved ones, which any team would say, well, go. Why would you go? I mean, really, how can we help is what you would say.
So then you're going to have reports. You already have reports coming out today. You're going to start getting more specific reports, including with the National Transportation Board having a press conference tonight. So we're going to start hearing stuff about the accident itself. And it sounds to me in the early stuff we're hearing right now, this was avoidable, that maybe they shouldn't have been flying in the fog. Second of all, that they shouldn't have been flying at that speed. So now you're going to have people questioning, why Kobe is not here. And I think the next 2 or 3 weeks, the NBA is going to play under a heavy cloud here. This is going to be very difficult. Very difficult.
Yeah, especially when you come out with the investigation here, because then that turns, you're grieving right now, then just anger and...
But don't you think
this pilot, God forbid, if it comes out that he was careless, then all of a sudden the anger towards still him and his family has to deal with all that as well.
Yeah, but don't you think that the fact that the search is ongoing with the bodies has a lot to do with it? And they're talking about a logistical nightmare based on where the helicopter crashed?
You ever see how long the National Transportation Board takes for these investigations?
No, I'm just saying, forget about the investigation, the body. That's what I'm saying. All of the bodies have not been found. So how are you going to have a memorial service with no body? It's not like it's crashed in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
They're out there, and I don't know how many square miles, and they'll find them eventually. Hmm. But nothing happens until that.
Yeah.
The clock doesn't start until then.
Yeah. No, I think this is going to be a longer period of time.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Let me go to Robert. Robert's up in Maine. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I was a helicopter pilot in the Navy for 10 years, and I actually studied naval mishaps, aviation mishaps. Luckily, I didn't have to employ that skill during my time. But
good guy to have on the line.
You guys were just, what's that?
A good guy to have on the line. Go ahead. Inform us.
Well, no, thank you. But you guys were just hitting on something that I was getting ready to talk that I wanted to call about is in my education and my time in the Navy. There's, of all the mishaps that I've studied, there's probably 70%, if not more, of these mishaps are occurred basically by human factors, right? It's somebody pressuring a pilot to fly, the pilot himself wanting to get home or get somewhere, all these things. So it's going to be very interesting when the NTSB does their study to find out, well, why did this guy even take off? I mean, all the helos and the police department were all grounded. Some of the planes were grounded. The fog was socked in. Why did this guy even take off?
I don't know.
Why was
he allowed to?
Yeah.
You tell me. Let's say it's a private
LAPD helicopters were grounded.
Right. And all the commercial stuff that was going up, the sightseeing stuff that's commercial, was all grounded. So you tell me, Robert, why was, as a private aircraft, why was he allowed to go up?
So I don't know. There are certain minimums that if you're IFR rated, if you're rated to fly in instrument conditions,
he was
basically in the soup, then you can take off as long as where you're going is acceptable landing conditions. Now, that's one of it. The other part is that, you know, as long as you stay above or below a certain altitude, that sort of thing, then, you know, there's ways of getting around that. And, you know, I just it's tragic because things like this should never, ever happen. I mean, it's foggy, it's crappy. I heard talking to somebody earlier, and they said, well, they were running out of gas. Well, we can't speculate things like that if we don't know any of those details based on the NTSB, so, or until that investigation is concluded.
And you know that takes a long time,
Robert,
as you know.
They have a press conference here tonight at 7 o'clock. Is it too soon to give us all the answers of what happened? What are they going to tell us tonight?
I mean, what they'll say tonight is probably – just the facts, right? I mean, the facts that they can reveal right now. It took off at this time. Here's the map, as we've all seen today. But that's really all that they're going to probably provide. And, I mean, you guys were alluding to it earlier, how difficult that terrain is right now. Locating the bodies, locating the pieces and parts, studying all of those. I mean, an impact like that, you know, at that speed, obviously zero altitude, you know, that wreckage is probably scattered about, 100 yards long by 100 yards wide. And again, if the terrain is cliffs, if it's flat, it's going to be a different scatter pattern. So it really kind of depends on, it's going to take, I mean, I would bet 6 to 9 months until we actually see something official.
Okay, Robert, thank you. It's like when they do one with, and of course, commercial aircraft, obviously different, but they have to take and reassemble the entire aircraft inside, some inside facility, and they put the whole thing together. It takes forever to do these things.
Awful.
I don't know what the helicopter one would be like, but you're going to get nothing, I believe, tonight. Nothing.
No, just a quick update, nothing, which is basically nothing new to report.
Paul is in Weston. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. Glenn, I just wanted to reinforce something you were saying earlier about let's take a step back and a deep breath before all these accolades and honors go to Kobe, which he deserves. But someone like Mark Cuban wanting to, you know, retiring his number, and I guess pressure for other teams to all retire Kobe's number. I would remind you, you know, when President Kennedy died, there was a rush to rename a lot of things after him, and properly so. But one of them was Cape Canaveral. Well, it became Cape Kennedy, but it's not Cape Kennedy anymore. So, you know, if you rush to do these things, then later on you're going to say, oh, well, maybe that was a little bit rush judgment, and maybe we need to back off on it.
I think that's
all people need to do right now is just take a deep breath, let things play through with the funerals and the aftermath of what the NTSB comes up with, and then take rational thought and honor him the
appropriate. Right, so you use the word rational thought, and people don't think rationally right now. None of us are thinking rationally. Everybody is saddened. They look at it with his daughter going down into that in that helicopter with him, and it's the worst nightmare. You're looking at it saying how these and not just this family, but another family was totally, you know,
last call
devastated.
We had some information on the NTSB, I guess. Remember the Corey Lytle one?
Yeah.
The incident?
Yes.
The helicopter? That took 7 months.
Right.
7 months.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of come out with its report. So tonight, I have no clue what the press conference is all about at 7.
You'll get the number of bodies, probably.
Will we get the names?
Maybe. I'm not sure that the safety board, that is their jurisdiction. I still think that would be the sheriff's jurisdiction. I would think.
Well, we had said before that the three girls from the team. We know John Altobelli, his wife and his daughter, and then there was another mom and her daughter. I was just reading
We have the names,
Christina Mosser.
Yeah.
She was just on the plane. She's a coach.
Coach.
She's an assistant coach.
Right.
So the husband, like he was just, I guess, talking to the media. He's got three kids at home. And you know, he gets this news. So, I mean, it is just, it's like devastating. I mean, you've got three kids, their parents. You know, Kobe, a mother, and then both mother and father on the Altobellis. this coach here, Christine Mosser, she's got three kids at home. I mean, it's just devastating. You know, when it was five people, you're like, oh, my God. Then when you finally heard nine, it's just all the families that are affected by this.
So this last caller that was talking about everybody doing anything, everybody's doing it because they feel awful. And so they want to see if they can. I think that's what Mark Cuban's motivation is. He feels awful and he wants to do something. And so what do people do at the time? Well, they over-deliver. They say, oh, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this, right? I mean, that's what people do. And instead of really what you should be doing is thinking of the family right now, kind of backing off, and then we can talk about whether you change the logo, whether you retire numbers.
Let's all agree that's not happening.
I do not believe it's happening.
No, just say it isn't.
But right now, don't you
think?
In a way,
Jerry West was responsible for Kobe Bryant's success.
He was. He made that trade.
So, I mean, and
how different would this have been if Kobe Bryant spent his entire career as a Charlotte Hornet?
Well, maybe Charlotte wins a bunch of championships.
Never know.
I don't know. Shaq wanted to go to L.A. for movies. They don't do movies in Charlotte.
They do other things.
Documentaries. Here's Ted in Maine. Hello, Ted. Ted in Maine.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. I worked in a newsroom for 25 years, and I would often get the name of a victim. And to me, the proper protocol is to call state police and say, police, I have the name of this victim. Has the family been informed? And if not, our news organization would not release the name. I know the temptation is much more difficult when it's somebody famous as opposed to just, you know, a run-of-the-mill car accident or something like that. But I think respectful news organizations would respect the police's wishes and say, please don't release the name until we have confirmation that the family knows.
Yeah, that's not, it's so, not, I don't know where you worked. It's not the way it works.
Unfortunately, it's not like that.
It doesn't. It was a celebrity. Obviously, they got confirmation because they were right. Yeah. Right? So they got confirmation from somebody and went with it, and they were right. It wasn't like somebody just made it up. They were right.
I understand they were right.
Ted,
but even if they were right, it doesn't mean it's right to release the name without the
Ted, listen, TMZ is obviously very connected in L.A., correct? I mean, what if the source was someone from the police department?
Well, but that's off the record because they would have said then a source from police is telling us this. Yeah. I'm sure their source was from police because there's no other way they would get that quickly.
That quickly.
So my problem, Ted, is, and I think you're right, you don't blame the media, you blame the law enforcement person who leaked the name.
Who wanted some money to get
so he might have got paid under, who knows who that leak was. Okay, but if you're TMZ and you're that company, you're in business to do this. This is how you make your money. The fact that they had the biggest story, nobody else had it. Matter of fact, ABC had all of his daughters involved in the crash. This is ABC. TMZ got it right. They get the wrong the number of fatalities, but they got it right that the big celebrity was Kobe Bryant. They got it right. So that's their business. That's how they make money.
I get it. And there's an argument to be had about whether they're an actual news organization.
What are you talking about?
Or an entertainment. Well, are they a news organization or an entertainment website?
Yeah, they're both. News? They're both. And they get most of this stuff right. I hate to say it, they've broken a lot of news. They're kicking ass right now with these other people. Kicking ass.
I know they got it right, and they embarrassed ABC yesterday. And I watched after TMZ, being a news guy, I watched, and I'm like, I can't believe ESPN isn't on yet.
Yeah, but what you wanted them to do is you wanted them to shut up and not say anything. And I get your feelings about it because I think we all feel awful about it. But somebody leaked it to them. They were able to confirm it. And then they went on their
site. If they embarrassed ABC, it's not because they got it first. It's because ABC did a cut-in at the Pro Bowl and said all four of his kids were on the helicopter with him.
Right.
That's what embarrassed ABC.
Yeah, I don't understand why people are coming down on TMZ, and Christian felt the same way. I don't get it. They wouldn't be in business if they don't do stuff like that.
Because I'm sensitive and I have a heart.
Okay.
And I feel for the wife and the other kids that are involved.
Well, I think two out of three
you
is pretty
go
good.
Back
you
to
got two out of three,
training.
Right.
Back to sensitivity training.
We got last call next. Yeah.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good. Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car. Help a child today. Schedule free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.org. We do want to mention that the Altobelli family obviously does not have the means that the Bryant family has, and so they have set up a GoFundMe account for the Altobelli family, and you can get the link right off of our Twitter account, OMF at on WEEI.
But Red Sox have tweeted it as well. I just retweeted it.
That's good. Terrific. Kobe Bryant had a real serious affection here for the city of Boston. I mean, if you saw his last game here, there was no question that this was a special place, and he talked an awful lot about it. And so here are some of the great moments. Kobe in Boston.
Kobe, how is Boston different than other stops on your farewell tour?
Because of the history, you know. Like, I grew up a really big historian of the game and understanding Boston's history, their players, the lineage of the players, the championships won, and so this place was always special to me. From the first time I came into the league, it was special.
You know, I can't deliver the old cliche with a straight face. You know, it's always special when you come to Boston.
What does this rivalry mean to you at this point?
It means everything. I mean, I grew up with this rivalry. I mean, it's such a, you know, in the moment, you're so caught up in trying to beat them that you don't understand the significance of actually participating in the Lakers-Celtics finals. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, for me growing up to see that and then actually playing one, you know, looking back now, I mean, that's amazing.
I'll gaze up a lot, and I'll look at the banners a lot, and, you know, kind of scan the crowd a lot, and try to soak it all in as much as possible. You know, it's always cool when I come here. I always look up into the rafters. I always kind of scan the crowd and just kind of appreciate the sea of green, you know. And so I'll be doing that quite a bit tonight.
I just can't believe this is the last time I'm going to be here. You know, I can't believe it. I mean, it seems like yesterday we were playing the finals here. This is crazy.
Kobe, you mentioned going out in Boston with the family last night. What do you like about the city, and do you think you'll ever come back here?
Yep, absolutely not. You know, it's just the history here. You know, it's a culture. You know, in L.A., it's everything's so new. You know, you feel, you know, the culture and our history. And so to be able to walk around here and see the buildings and the people, and, you know, it's special. So I'll be around.
Not only did he come back here, he spoke with the Patriots last year, if you guys remember.
Yeah, that's right.
During camp, spoke with the Patriots.
Yep.
Wow.
And they all talked about it. The players all talked about it. They were, like, so impressed and in awe, and Kobe came in there and with Bill Belichick came in there and spoke with him.
It's still weird. You know, you just see pictures on Twitter or whatever. It's just hearing his voice, seeing stuff on TV everywhere. It's still strange to me.
It's funny. The fact that they're postponing this game, and just, I think you're right, Glenn. I think this is going to last a lot longer. I will say this, though. Listen, the Lakers had a good chance of winning the NBA championship anyways.
Yeah.
I think this locks it in.
No, I'm
saying.
I
think it locks it in. I mean, what do you think? LeBron James, like this report right here. You say his name, Shams Sharita.
No, you got it,
Shams. This is pretty. I don't know. This is pretty. This gives me shivers. This gives me like goosebumps. Right. One final conversation. LeBron James and Kobe Bryant had phone call late Saturday night after James passed Bryant on the NBA scoring charts, sources tell The Athletic and at the stadium. Several Lakers players listen in on the call. It would be their final memory of Bryant's voice.
Wow. Mutt's in the house, Mutt at night.
Yep, we're talking about this with a guy who was there for a lot of these games. Greg Dickerson's here for a couple hours tonight.
Oh, good.
G-Dick was on the sideline for a lot of Kobe. G-Dick, get back in the house.
Go
G-Dick? Is
G-Dick.
That a nickname?
Yeah,
I didn't know about
G-Dick.
Call him G-Dick all the time. Yeah. We used to call him that. We used to, a certain morning show would come in
calls
on Mondays
with us. Richard.
Oh, is that what he calls
him?
Yeah,
G-Richard.
Dickerson's here. We'll talk about the impact that Kobe had on the NBA and how Celtic fans will remember him. It is a Derek Jeter thing where it's the ultimate respect for what he meant to play your organization. And later on tonight, won't be all Kobe because it's media night, Glenn. Your favorite night of the year, now the Super Bowl. Tonight is the media night. Garoppolo's going to talk about Brady. Ooh. Wes Welker's going to talk about Brady's wide receiver coach there in San Francisco. So the sights and sounds of the big media night as well here.
And then, of course, you'll have some of the dumbest questions you will ever, ever hear.
Oh, they're really dumb. Really, really dumb.
I don't miss that at all.
No,
like, it's weird. Honest to God, I'm so glad we're not there right now.
I'm with you.
Kidding, not kidding.
I'm with you. All right.
I mean, some people some people will be there later this week, I think.
Some will be back here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Back here tomorrow, okay? You know the location? Somebody give him directions for tomorrow. We're here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. G-Dick along with Mutt at night coming up next.